You're listening to the Career Jump Podcast. Insights, interviews, and success stories to inspire and give you the edge when you make your next career jump. Hosted by your career concierge, Andrew McCaskill.
Hello, and a very, very warm welcome back to the Executive Career Jump Podcast. I'm your host and career concierge here today, Andrew McCaskill. And I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Sally Spicer. Thanks for joining us today, Sally.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so Sally and I live in a similar area, been connected for some time, and I know you're doing a lot of really interesting work on all sides of the hiring equation. But tell us a bit more about you and what you get involved with, just for the listeners.
Brilliant. Thank you. And thanks again for having me. So I'm Sally Spicer. Live and work on the South Coast. I've worked in recruitment for 20 years now. And my current specialism, and I say current because I've kind of worked myself up through the ranks, is the kind of senior finance level, so qualified accountants. So I work for Barclay Mead, which is the professional services division of Gattaca PLC. And I also manage and kind of lead two other teams that specialise in HR and technical sales recruitment. Gattaca PLC is a big player in the market. We've got networkers and match tech brands underneath. And yeah, and that's where I've been for the last 10 years.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know Gattaca well. Recommend anybody listening to engage with Gattaca. That's where I started my recruitment career. They were called something different at the time. It's been amazing to see that group evolve over time. And just while we're on Gattaca, I've been made aware and have seen through some of our community some of the great initiatives that you guys at Gattaca have been doing for people who find themselves on the job market at the moment. So tell us a bit more about some of the stuff you've been doing in the last 12 months there.
Yeah, it's been brilliant, actually. And it's been a project that I've been heavily involved in and, yeah, really, really passionate about. So a couple of things, really. Our first target that we're looking to hit is to get 1,000 people back into work. And I contacted our project team this morning and said, look, what number are we at? And they said 808. And I had to say, actually, we've got now 810 because my team have placed two people this morning.
Love it.
Which is just, yeah, I love the fact that it's a really live number and it's like really tangible. And we as a whole collective have been doing as much as we can for charity. So each division has been given a target. So you'd like to think that, you know, we'd like to probably think that a lot of recruitment businesses are targeting people on sales. We're not. We're targeting people on how much money we can raise for charity, which is fantastic. And also how many clients that we can help. So we've been putting on seminars. So I did a seminar yesterday on the future of recruitment kind of post COVID and what that looks like. Like how different TA technologies and what place they have in the evolving market. And we're doing one on the LGBTQ, you know, inclusion in a couple of weeks. And we've also done things on like webinars on kind of financial advice and how and financial well-being and just try to help as many people as we can, really. So yeah, it's been great.
Well, it's been super refreshing. Recruitment often gets a hard time as an industry.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, justifiably so, I would say, but all of that mission orientated stuff and the way that, you know, you and the guys at Gattaca have sought to serve others during this period has been hugely appreciated by the job search community. So thanks for everything you're doing there.
Yeah.
Really interested just on what you said in terms of the webinar and the future of hiring. Just really quickly, I think there might be some good insights in there for the people that are listening. So just at a top level, what do you see as the future of hiring and what advice were you giving?
Well, we would discuss, there's three kind of main questions, and we discuss what, has the role of the recruiter fundamentally changed? And I think the answer is yes. And I think as businesses recover, you know, from the pandemic, there is an overarching kind of, you know, need that you're going to have to hire the right talent. So although the job market at the moment isn't where it needs to be, the unemployment levels are higher than anyone wants them to be. In order for companies to recover, they're going to have to invest in their people. You know, if they want to invest on a new product or, you know, R&D or a new computer system, whatever, they're still going to need the people to make that happen. And so there is a huge kind of emphasis on how we could improve that process. The new technologies, like I said, are coming into place. And something that I'm particularly passionate about is making sure that the technologies that we use don't dehumanize the recruitment process. So yes, it was a big debate actually. So yeah, you can go and catch, I'll send over the link to you. But yes, it was really kind of topics of how companies have evolved, what has accelerated over the last 12 months, and how we can get the best out of a recruitment process moving forward, really.
Brilliant. And music to my ears about humanising. I think it's about people sitting at the convergence of technology and the human element rather than tech replacing the human element, right? We've got to get that blend right.
Absolutely. And my fear is that if you just run your recruitment process through ATS systems, people are going to write CVs that are going to satisfy an algorithm, which is going to completely strip all personality out of a CV. So you're going to make, in my view, you're going to make the recruitment process longer because you're going to have more applicants because all of their CVs look the same. So the selection process is just going to take longer rather than getting the right person the first time.
100%. And I just think in general, there's a lot of scaremongering towards job seekers about ATS machines. Mm-hmm. I think it's been used over the years as kind of a tool to sell expensive templates. But, you know, the majority of these ATS machines aren't like evil robots that are qualifying you out of everything. Like, there are still humans looking in at this stuff. And whilst you need to be aware of ATS, like, I think the importance of it on the candidate side, personally, I think is overstated. I don't know how you feel, but I think some people have now managed to pull all the personality out of their CVs with the view just to beat the robot. But at the end of the day, there's still going to be a human analysing that, even if you do beat the robot. So you've got to get the blend right. Agreed?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's all about the blend, yeah, and making yourself visible on the market, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
I'm sure we will. So you're running recruitment teams, right? That's what you do on a day-to-day basis. And recruitment consultants are obviously a key channel for job seekers in terms of uncovering opportunity and sometimes hidden opportunity that they wouldn't be able to access themselves. One question we get a lot is about the best way to engage and work with recruiters in your space. So what's your advice to people in terms of how somebody should approach you or your colleagues or your team? Like, what's the best way for people to reach out? How do people, you know, get good relationships with recruiters and engage with them properly?
Number one, just be yourself, just be friendly. You know, we are here to help. And I think you're right. There is a stigma attached to recruiters, which is something that, you know, I feel quite passionately about because I'm surrounded by people who just want to do a good job every day. But just be friendly. I think it's always good to remember the world of a recruitment world is a very, very busy one. It's a very, very reactive market. People aren't always available to talk to. But in terms of, you know, if people approaching me, I mean, I've got two mobile phones, two computers, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on two different systems of LinkedIn, I'm on Teams, and I've also got my email. So I've got a lot of, and I've got my inbox from LinkedIn, I've got a lot of incoming traffic that I need to cut through. But yeah, just like send me a text message or a voicemail, or, you know, people will get back to you. But yeah, just be friendly and don't be afraid to pick the phone up. We're here to help. You're helping us, the candidates. You're helping us do our job properly. So don't be afraid just to pick the phone up and introduce yourself to people.
Love that advice. Love that approachability. And yeah, I hear you on all the different inboxes. Amelia Sordell was talking to me this morning about how she wants to invent one platform where every notification for everything just goes into one inbox.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if she can do that, that would be very, very good for all of us. So that's very, very good. Another really key topic I'd love to get some insights on is interviews, right? Now, lots of people seem to hate interviews, hate the process, all of that stuff. So love to hear your thoughts on interview advice and how people can improve their interview performance.
Brilliant. This is the subject that gets me out of bed in the morning. I absolutely love it. Helping and guiding someone through and coaching someone through an interview process is literally, I could do it all day, every day. And I've done loads of free content on this actually on my LinkedIn page if anyone's interested. My advice is, number one, be authentic, be yourself. You've got to go into a process being yourself because there's no point being someone else to interview and then rocking up in the job 3 months later and they go, well, hang on a minute, who's this person who sat at our desk once we're back in the office again? Also, put it into perspective and absolutely break it down. I think if you've got a really, really clear narrative and you've got really good structure that you can approach your interview with, you will feel so much more in control of the situation and you'll perform better. So that's my advice to anyone.
Fantastic. Yep. Yeah, that rehearsal feels absolutely key.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Andrew here. Just wanted to very briefly interrupt this podcast episode to tell you a little bit more about our Career Jump Club. So our Career Jump Club was created to help job seekers understand what they want and how to get it, right? So becoming a club member is a great move if you're looking to get the clarity and confidence in order to secure your next role. With the membership, you get a number of different things. So first thing you get is access to our online platform, which has over 30 videos, 40, 50 different templates, workbooks, and it takes you through everything from sort of understanding what you want to how to position your CV and LinkedIn, how to interview, how to close offers and negotiate better salaries, a full end-to-end job search course effectively for senior leaders. So you get that, you get a fortnightly group coaching call, which is with me and with the other members, where we bounce around best practice, share slide decks, share techniques, and share the latest data on what's working for people. And you get to, most importantly, become part of our closed LinkedIn group and our closed community. And in there is where the magic often happens, because you get people referring each other into opportunity, supporting each other, and just sharing. And that's what it's all about. So if you're financially able and you'd like to invest in your job search, head on over to www.execcareerjump.com, all one word, /club. And you'll find the landing page and come and give it a go. We'll see you in there. Anyway, back to the pod.
And how else do you think other people can stand out a little bit whilst they're job searching? It's competitive at the moment, isn't it? So what other thoughts do you have on that?
I think going that extra mile, okay, is competitive. At the moment, it feels very saturated and very crowded. If you go that extra mile, it's not crowded. That's where you're going to stand out. So the extra mile is the engagement. Networking is so vital, and it's so vitally important. I mean, the work that you've done on LinkedIn and the people in your community is absolutely incredible. And there's nothing I like more than seeing your guys' names tagged in a "I've got the job" and "thank you for the support." So it's going that extra mile. I think a lot of the fear comes from when you're approaching the job market is you feel like you're on a back foot and you feel like you haven't got the skills in order to get you where you need to be. And that's when I think you should reach and lean on other people to help gain those skills, because once you've got it and you've got that confidence, you'll be able to elevate your profile, know what you're saying, and know what your kind of your superpower is, and you will definitely get highlighted in the market.
Yeah, 100%. Sage advice in there. Clarity and confidence, that's the name of the game, isn't it? And confidence, we spoke a little bit about that before we started the podcast, Sally. What's your view on confidence? And particularly, I know you're passionate about helping other women who are trying to navigate the world of work and fulfill their potential and work with them on confidence as well. Talk to me about confidence as a topic.
Oh, I think confidence is a state of mind, and I think it's a state of mind that changes on a daily basis. And I'll give you, you know, a live example. I spoke with one of my clients this morning, and this is a woman who is a director of FP&A who's hiring into her team. And she, to me, is someone I hold in really, really high regard and who I think oozes confidence, right? And she's on the phone to me. I've just filled a job for her, got someone back into work. And she said, "Sally, I don't know what it is, but I've got a real imposter syndrome feeling about this, about someone joining my team and living up to that kind of expectation that I've set." And I said, "Well, firstly, thank you so much for sharing that with me, because I think it's, you know, but that's not how I perceive you." So I think all of these, you know, and I said, "Right, well, let's, you know," and I did like a little coaching session with her on the phone. I was like, "Right, let's think about why you're amazing." And we just kind of, I reeled off five things literally without even thinking. And she was like, "You know what? I just needed to hear that today." So I think, you know, yeah, it's a state of mind. It will pass and you can change it, I think, is the most important thing. And taking control of that change is, yeah, can be game changing.
Totally agree. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, often the same humility that makes you a good leader plays against you at times. And that's where that imposter syndrome comes in, right? And I think a little bit of it's healthy. There's nothing more motivating in the morning than going into a situation worried that you're going to be found out as a fraud, right? I've had roles like that where at a young age I've gone, "Why have they given me this responsibility? This is stupid." And actually, if you channel that imposter syndrome in a healthy way, it can become a good driving force, because you're proving to yourself and to everybody around you, even though they're not doubting you as much as you're doubting yourself, what you can do, and you become what you need to become. But yeah, confidence, it's a killer. It's a killer. It's an absolute killer if you end up in a downward spiral with it. That's for sure.
It is. And I think, yeah, the most important thing is to show that invulnerability and ask for help, even if you don't think you're asking for help. By showing you're vulnerable, you're inviting other people and, you know, to come and, you know, support you. And I live by, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. I live by that quote. And I think you've got to be in a position, or you've got to get yourself in a position of being comfortable with feeling fear, because that fear is never going to go away. You might overcome the challenge you've got today, and tomorrow, or if you're going for that promotion now in this new role, you're going to be, you know, going to have a whole, you know, bucket load of fear poured on you, and you've then got to deal with that. So it's never going to go away. Get comfortable with it.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yes.
I like that. I think that's a great message. So other than confidence, what else do you see job seekers getting wrong? What mistakes?
A blanket approach. So what I mean by that is thinking, right, I need a job. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to use finance and accounting as an example, because this is what I live and breathe. It's got the role account, the title, you know, it's got accountant in the title somewhere. Bang, there's my CV. And where I'm sat in the process is I've got a client who needs their expectations met. They've got a very niche requirement. There's candidates out there who I know who can do the job, and I've just got to make sure they're either in my network already or I've got to go and find them. But what then happens, and the client maybe is recruiting for the role themselves as well, direct, which is absolutely fine, commonplace. What you then get is loads of other noise with loads of other CVs coming in, which makes the, oh my God, I've had 200 applications for this job, make the people who actually want the job think, oh, there's no way I'm going to apply for that. But 70% of those people aren't relevant. You're creating more work for the recruiter. You're creating more work for the in-house recruiter, more work for the hiring manager, because they've now got all these irrelevant CVs to, you know, to sort, to sift through. Whereas if your approach is more targeted and you know what your narrative is, you've got your clarity and you go to market with that message. From the candidate side, they've applied for all these jobs and they're not getting looked in because they're not relevant. So it's just lots of noise that everyone's creating by applying for the right wrong jobs. So just go for the job you want to go. And it is out there. Trust me.
Be very intentional in general, right? Just be intentional about your actions and you'll tend to be in a good spot, won't you?
Yeah, 100%. Because the job is out there. You've just got to make sure that you're marketing yourself in the right way.
Such a lovely point. We see so many people in that death spiral of sending out loads of applications, not hearing back, confidence getting hit. So send out even more and don't hear back even more, and down and down it goes. So yeah, love that. Some super insights there. Thank you very much. You mentioned CVs in there. So I've got to ask you whilst we've got them on. Everyone's got an opinion on them. What's yours?
Oh, no fluff. No fluff. Don't tell me that you're a hard worker, that you can work in a team and you can work independently, right? That's a given. You've got to find out what your superpower is. You know, what is your niche? What problem are you going to solve? And you've got to tell the reader in the first sentence, you know, what that is. Also, what I'm, you know, when people put their full names on CVs, or they put their name and then they put in brackets what they're called, you know, it's your identity. And I think this is where a lot of people struggle, on your point that you were making earlier, is that people struggle. It's before the podcast, but you know, people are in jobs and they're really achieving, and then they hit the job market and they almost become a different person. Your CV is should be a true representation of who you are as an individual, and it's got to show your personality. And what I don't mean by that is, you know, pictures and colors and font. I mean what you stand for in your professional life, and make sure that's on your CV.
Excellent advice. And more I'm trying to encourage people be updating their CV quarterly, even when they're in post.
Yeah.
Because one of the challenges we always find is trying to help someone write a CV when they haven't updated it for 5 years is really, really tricky. Whereas if you get into a habit, right, of every time you have a quarterly review, updating your CV, then it's always ready to go whenever you need it with the latest data. And you'll be updating it from a point of confidence rather than updating it from a point of scarcity when you hit the market. So I actually hope we move to this situation where people manage their careers in a more proactive rather than reactive way like that. But
I hope we get to a point where we don't have to have CVs, you know, and that's going to come at some point. You know, we've all got to evolve and develop. But yeah, let's abandon. Remember, I've worked in recruitment for a long time. You know, this is before email. We didn't have CVs. Someone used to phone us up and say, I've got this need. And we'd go, okay, well, such and such and such and such can do that job. And you'd send them in. Change, I appreciate it. But
yeah. It's interesting, the CVs thing, isn't it? For 10 years, people have been saying that they'll be obsolete. And, you know, LinkedIn in particular, I definitely started seeing in the latter years of working in search, like I'd put all this time into, well, not me, but we would put all this time into formatting CVs and writing cover letters and all of that. I'd send it over to the hiring leader, who would see what the name was and just type it straight into LinkedIn and have a look at their profile.
Yeah.
So they weren't even kind of engaging with any of that stuff. So yeah, I hope you're right. I think a lot of people hide on CV but fired on culture fit anyway. So it makes no sense to focus on it too much.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. So yeah, watch this space, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe you or your colleagues at Gattaca can come up with a more dynamic version of it, like a fully interactive CV that's got video components and stuff?
Well, we've actually taken on video interviewing as a package throughout the last kind of 8 months, which has been absolutely brilliant. But what it's allowed us to do, and what I was doing quite a lot when, I wouldn't say the recession hit, when COVID hit, was interviewing with candidates. So just like we're doing now, and it was a 5 minute, right, come on, let's talk about you. And then I was putting that video in their CV and then sending their CV off. It's brilliant.
Smart move. And nothing to stop people adding a link to a video about themselves into a CV. Very, very smart move. Love that. Cool. Okay, very good. When people are in jobs, when do you think they should leave? Like, what do you think is the right moment for somebody to leave a job in your view?
Either when their purpose isn't being satisfied, or they're in a toxic environment, or there's no opportunity for growth and development. I think that is the time to leave, and almost thinking about leaving 6 months before you think you might want to leave. I think it needs to be a question that you need to revisit a couple of times a year.
Yes. Yes. Very, very good advice. Very, very good advice. There's almost a premium put on resilience, isn't there? Resilience. But you can be too resilient. What, you know, there is a point where resilience becomes madness and
unsustainable.
Yeah, and exactly. And particularly the bit you're talking about, if you're working somewhere that doesn't fit with your values or doesn't give you purpose, then you're on a road to burnout anyway. So excellent advice. Keep an eye on all that, folks. I think that's good work. So a bit more, I'm interested to hear a bit more about you and where you get your information from, what drives you. So like, I'm a big fan of quotes, right? Do you have a quote that you like, or a particular quote that that means something to you?
I think it's the one I mentioned earlier, is to feel the fear and do it anyway. Okay. Because, yeah, I'm always trying to push myself. And, you know, even like, you know, taking on new technologies at work, getting involved in new initiatives. I'm one of these people who's always on to the next thing. I drive myself crazy, but I'm always, you know, I'm always thinking about, like, how can we do this, or can we do better? How can we improve the candidate experience? But a lot of that comes with, oh, God, I don't really know what I'm doing. So, yeah, I always just try and push through.
Love that. And what skill do you want to develop next?
I want to develop, and I think there's probably, because I see my face pop up on LinkedIn all the time, people think that I'm really confident, and I'm not. So I just want to get, yeah, I think that is good, is raising my profile to help others. And I think, you know, last year was a real turning point for me, because I've worked in busy recruitment businesses for 20 years, always been in that team environment, and it's a busy, you know, place to be. Being at home for 8 hours a day in kind of almost solitude gave me a lot of, and speaking to people who had their careers impacted was tough. And it really made me think, right, there's got to be more I can do to help, which is why I started raising my presence on LinkedIn and trying to kind of offer advice in terms of, you know, CVs or interviews. But I want to do more of that. I feel like I've got a real calling. And so pushing myself out of my comfort zone and learning the skills I need to help others.
I absolutely love that. And there's a lot of people that are jumping on the bandwagon in terms of helping job seekers and things like that at the moment. But the authenticity of your message really stands out, which is why I was so keen to get you on the podcast in the first place. At a personal level and also at a Gattaca level, it's just very clear that you really want to have that impact, and you're doing it for the right reasons. So thank you for all the content that you've been putting out to help people on that front.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
Books, podcasts. Do you like anything on that front? Any you could recommend?
I'm a huge podcast fan. And I've read some, you know, business books. You know, I read, you know, Good to Great back in the day.
Absolutely.
I revisited that recently, and I just thought, I think things have changed. I think things have moved on. You know, it all used to be like getting everyone on your bus, wasn't it? Like, get everyone on the bus, get everyone in the good seats, and basically drive the bus. I don't think leadership's like that anymore. I liken it to basically having everyone in their individual, like, kind of bumper cars, right? And your job as the leader, you're the guy on the, you know, on the DJ, is to keep everyone safe, make sure if anyone's down the accidents, you kind of jump in and help them. But your role, because everyone's got their own stuff going on these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? It's basically just to keep that.
Yeah, embrace that chaos and keep it moving and look after it.
Yeah, exactly. But on the podcast front, I love podcasts. And my favourite is How to Fail by Elizabeth Day. I'm not sure if you've come across that one.
I've heard of it, yep.
Yeah, brilliant. And so everyone goes on there with three failures and how they have overcome those failures. And I just find those stories really inspiring. So, yeah, I love stuff like that.
Yeah, very, very refreshing. Awesome. Well, I think we've covered some superb ground there. As I say, keep up the content. I think you're adding tremendous value. people who are listening to this, where can they find you? How can they connect with you? How can they get in touch?
I think probably LinkedIn is probably the easiest way to do it. So it's just Sally Spicer on LinkedIn. There's not that many of us. And you probably see my face pop up all the time anyway. I get bored of looking at my own face. Clubhouse, I'm addicted. And I've listened to a couple of things you've done there. Absolutely great, which is Sally Scoach, which is S-C-O-A-C-H. I must have learned to spell that properly. Yeah, just get in touch with me on there. I'd love to be able to help anyone.
All right, well, we'll do a couple of career coaching rooms together on Clubhouse at some point, no doubt. But for now, thank you for investing the time. It's really enjoyable to have you on, and we'll catch up with you soon. Cheers.
Thanks so much. Bye.
You've been listening to the Career Jump Podcast with Andrew McCaskill. For more resources and information, just head over to the Career Jump website at www.execcareerjump.com to supercharge your job search and start making moves. Let's get to work.